Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of... Tonight, on the 167th anniversary of the Marines, Vox Pop travels to the Marines' advanced training base at New River, North Carolina. And now your two Vox Poppers, Fox Johnson and Warren Hull, have landed at New River, and the Marines have the situation well in hand. Sergeant Buckner at New River, take over.
Fox, Fox, copy. And put! How can you get, Johnson? Wipe that grin off your face, Hull. Upward! Put! Fox, up, creep, coming in! Pull! Ready. Range, carry your box, Poppers. Johnson, Hull.
Hey, Warren, that's a tough sergeant there, you know.
I couldn't wipe that grin off my face. I'm too happy down here.
No, really, you know, we've been living in that barracks over there. We're really practically Marines now after 4 days, aren't
yes,
we, Park?
Yeah, eating that good chow with the boys.
Yeah, but... It was a little tough, though, you know, with the lights out at 10 o'clock every night.
Yeah, but, Warren, you remember getting up at 5:55 every morning at Reveille?
Oh, that was painful. That bugle blowing me right out of bed.
But anyway, we've had a lot of fun down here. And so take over, Buck Private.
Oh. Okay. All right, folks. We have a corporal standing here. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about New River. New River is the place where Marines get the finishing touches, the last stages of training before shoving off. Now, in this 200-square-mile area, where conditions resemble almost exactly those in the islands in the Pacific, they practice landings, establishing beachheads, jungle fighting, all the tactics being used today by Marines in the Solomon. Now, here's a rugged guy who's been through it all and is raring to go. Smiling, devil-may-care fellow with brown eyes, black hair. He's 23, Corporal Louis Bourgeois from New Orleans. Louis, can you tell us about the resemblance of New River to, we'll say the Solomon?
Well, the resemblance is just about the same. We have the same beachhead here, the landing parties, and jungle and swamp wall terrain.
Swamp,
right here.
Huh?
Yes, we also have a terrible bunch of big mosquitoes here. Only thing we haven't got is the Japs.
Oh, you have the whole works for the Japs, sir. Well, now, what happens when you make a landing?
Well, we'll make a landing. We'll board big vessels. They bombard and soften up the enemy with heavy gunfire. The airplanes dive bomb on them and soften them up quite a bit for us. And after that, we disembark into the landing party boat and make our beach landing.
Well, you mean, do you really jump out of those landing boats the way I've seen in the movies, you know, the pictures?
Yes, we go over the side and from
you,
then...
You mean you get your feet wet when you go in there, huh?
I should say we do. We get more than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember one time we was making a landing party and our captain was leading us over. And as he went over the side, he said, "Follow me, boys." And all you could see floating was his hat.
He went into a hole or something?
Yeah, quite a few times.
Well, when you hit the beach, what do you do?
Well, when you hit the beach, the fellows go over the sides and they spread out and stand in the position for fighting and spread out quite a bit so they won't make a very good target. And as soon as they possibly can, pick up the best ground for cover and conceal themselves. And we send our scouts out to find out exactly where the enemy is.
Well, if you run into concentration, we'll say, of enemy fire, well, what do you do?
Well, if we've run into heavy fire from the enemy, we pull up all our automatic weapons, which consist of the Browning automatic, two Browning machine guns, and we have these Thompson submachine gun, and also the new gun, which is rising, which is a very handy weapon.
Uh-huh.
We also have the PAC howitzer.
PAC howitzer?
Yeah, that's the weapon that the Army carry on their mules and the Marines carry on their bag.
Now the folks know how tough the Marines are. But you do have plenty of weapons. I'll bet you spit plenty of bullets at them, don't you?
We'll give them enough.
Yeah. How long have you been in the service, Corporal?
I've been in a little bit over 5 years.
Well, where have you seen service?
Well, I've seen service in the United States on both coasts, and I've also been out in the Asiatic zone.
Did you see any excitement there?
Well, and when I was coming down from Pekin, we was evacuating a few civilians, and a few Marines was going down to Cavite, Philippine Islands. We'd been slowed up there by a bridge that was washed out by a big flood they had up in China at the time. And as I was sitting up in the forward end of the coach, the major was in charge and gave me a definite order to let no one to come aboard our car.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was sitting there, a job general came along the side of the train and wanted to board come up our steps. And as he approached, why, I told him that he couldn't come aboard. Then he jabbered something in Japanese or some kind of gibberish. And as he did, why, he started to come up aboard the train. And I just put my foot up in his face, and I told him if he made another step, I'd kick him right off the... Right in his face.
Yeah.
Only thing I wish is that I had the chance again.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe you'll get a chance. Thank you very much, Louie, for being with us tonight. We have a couple of gifts for you from Bromo Seltzer. We have a solid gold Marine service ring for you. And we also have, knowing that you're very musical, we have a natural wood-finished six-string guitar with case. And now, Louie, don't you wish that you had a beautiful Spanish senorita with a gorgeous yellow shawl, rose in her hair, and on a real balcony? Wouldn't you like to have one like that to serenade, huh?
Well, I was close to that one time in the Philippines.
Well, we've got one for you. Here she is right now, a real senorita, just as I've described her. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Louie, and have some fun. Now, go on. You go on over there backstage and serenade her.
All right, Bart. Okay, Warren. Our next guest was the commanding officer of the Marine Flyers in the Battle of Midway in June. You know, they did a magnificent job in a battle which was one of the turning points of the Pacific War. On this last Saturday, he received the Distinguished Service Medal for his work at Midway. Folks, from Mexico, Missouri, Lieutenant Colonel Ira L. Kimes. Congratulations, Colonel Kimes.
Thank you very much.
You're from Annapolis, aren't you?
That's right, sir.
What class, Colonel?
1923, sir.
Back in 23. Well, now, what are your duties now, Colonel?
Well, I'm on duty now in the Division of Aviation Headquarters Marine Corps.
That's Washington. Yes, of course, in Washington. Well, now back to Midway for just a minute, Colonel. Wasn't Lieutenant Moore, do you recall Lieutenant Moore in your command out there?
That's right, he was.
We're going to hear from him shortly in New York. I just wondered if he wasn't. Is a Marine, Colonel, as tough up there in the air as they are on the land and the sea?
Well, I think they are. I think we proved that they are.
I know you proved that they are. Can you tell me anything about the damage that the men did at Midway in that fight?
Well, I believe that you've seen paper accounts that Credulous was taking between 30 and 40 of their airplanes out and blunting the sharpest point of their attack.
Yes, I read that. And some of your men are still there?
Yes, some are there and some have gone on.
And some of them, would you say, are down maybe in the Solomons?
I think so.
You think so?
I know so.
You know so. Talking about those who are down in the Solomons, I understand, I've read reports from war correspondents that have been printed, that it seems to me that the three top aces of all of our services happen to be Marines. Two or three, is that right?
Well, I think you must be thinking about John Smith and Marion Carl and Bob Gala.
Yes, those are the three men I'm talking about. Do you happen to know them, Colonel?
Oh, very well, all three of them.
You do? Are they very much alike?
Yes, very much alike. They're like all good Marines.
They're just Marines,
just
huh?
Just Marines.
Well, let's go back to... have you seen any of them recently?
Yes, very recently.
Can you say which one?
Well, I've seen John Smith.
That's Major John L. Smith.
Major John L. Smith, that's right.
Of course, unofficially, but I read in the paper where Major Smith was credited anywhere from 17 to 19, and that's a lot of planes for one man to knock down. Is Major Smith a fighter pilot or a bomber pilot, or was he?
He's a fighter pilot.
Oh, he's a fighter.
Yes.
Well, naturally, we're knocking down that many. He probably would have to be, wouldn't he? And how about, was Captain Call the man that wanted somebody to ground Major Smith so he could get out there?
Yes, I think he was.
Catch up with him?
I think he was a little put out because he lost a few days there.
Well, do these men, do they talk much?
No, I would say they're a little on the quiet side.
They're just like all Marines.
Just like all modest Marines.
Uh-huh. They do a lot of things and let the other folks talk about it, don't they? Colonel, where did you get your wings?
At Naval Air Station, Pensacola.
Pensacola, been flying very long?
Since 1927.
Did you choose the Marines after your graduation?
Slightly before my graduation.
You did. That's right. What I understood. You do choose it when you're at Annapolis. Well, anything that you can add, Major, about, Colonel, about our flying Marines?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think that the Flying Marines speak for themselves. I don't believe I could add anything for them.
I think that on this 167th birthday eve of the Marines, that any and all branches of our service, but of course we're celebrating the Marines' birthday, which occurs tomorrow, that our hats are off not only to our aviators, but the Marines of the land and of the sea. Is that right, Colonel?
Yes, sir.
And, Colonel, thanks a lot for coming down from Washington, especially to be with us tonight. And we have a couple of gifts for you that we hope you remember this program by. First of all, a combination Ronson cigarette case and lighter and a service kit to keep it in shape. And next, an officer's forest green waterproof duffel bag, the best we could find up at Abercrombie & Fitch's. And I'd sure like to have it myself.
Thank you.
Thank you a lot. You know, folks, it's always a thrill for Warren and me to hear from you, but the other day we got an extra special letter from Mr. Frank E. Conrad of 156 Anderson Avenue, Fairview, New Jersey. Here's what he says. I'm in charge of first aid in my machine shop, and I've found that headache can be almost as much of a menace to the war effort as a flock of saboteurs if they could get in.
And friends, that's not just idle talk. Mr. Conrad says, figuring the cost in lost man hours because of men leaving their jobs to go home, the quality of the work being affected, the danger of accidents at the machines, and the general falling off of production, well, believe you me, it piles up to a staggering figure.
Yes, sir. And what solved his problem? Our own Bromo Seltzer. He goes on to say, Bromo Seltzer does such a swell job of helping headache and the upset stomach and jangled nerves that often go with it, that I've found I've certainly made a lot of friends since I introduced it to the men.
But it's the last paragraph that Parks and I like. Mr. Conrad says, by putting out a great product like Bromo Seltzer, you folks are making it possible for us to put out more and more of the stuff that's going to help us win this war.
And, Mr. Conrad, if all the men working in war plants have the same spirit that you do to produce more and more, and I know they have, well, we're bound to win.
Well, folks, our next interview is with a Marine who has seen plenty of active service and now is undergoing special treatment at the Navy Hospital in New York City. Lieutenant Moore is one of the finest Marines you ever saw, and he'll be interviewed by our own Vox Pop announcer, Ernest Chappell. Okay, Chappie, in New York.
Thank you, Warren. Friend, standing beside me now is Marine Flyer Lieutenant Tom Moore, who only a little over a year ago was Cadet Moore, sitting in the audience at the Naval Air Station of Pensacola, Florida, when Vox Pop broadcast from that point. Lieutenant Moore, you've seen a lot of action in the past few months. By the way, you were one of Colonel Kine's boys out there in Midway, weren't you?
Yes, and I was mighty glad to hear Colonel Kine's voice tonight on the Vox Pop program.
Delighted to have him. Well, we're most anxious to hear about your action. Where was your first engagement?
Well, I got my first taste of action early on the morning of June 4th in the famous Battle of Midway. When I followed my squadron into a dive bombing attack on one of the large Japanese carriers. As I went into my dive, I was so hypnotized or attracted by the huge rising sun painted on the flight deck of the carrier that I went down to about 400 feet before I snapped out of it and released my bomb. Several seconds thereafter, my plane was thrown out of control by a severe concussion, and when I recovered, I looked back to see where my bomb had fallen. I looked back and saw three of the famous Japanese Zero fighter planes.
Well, did that bomb that you released strike home?
Well, I feel certain that it did, but I can't say it did because I didn't actually see it hit or fall.
Uh-huh. He'd already restored another gas line.
That's right. He brought the engine back in again, and I immediately started climbing and ducked into the clouds and evaded the fighters.
You make it sound very, very simple. A great engagement, and we're really thrilled about it. That was the principal engagement at Midway. Now, where from there?
Well, the next stop was Guadalcanal and the Solomon Islands.
Henderson Field?
That's correct.
Any action there when you first landed?
Well, the first night that we got there, the Japanese put ashore about 700 men, which our Marine ground troops took care of in very, very short order.
The usual efficient Marine fashion,
That's
huh?
That's correct.
Well, now, your first important engagement, the thing that's most outstanding in your mind as to your Guadalcanal activities.
Well, we made several attacks out there. One in particular I might mention was the attack on which I know that I hit, dropped a bomb on another Japanese warship.
You're sure of a direct hit in this instance?
Yes, I made sure. I saw this one go.
This one you saw, huh?
That's
There's
right.
No doubt about this. Well, these injuries that you suffered, I know there's several scars on your forehead, your face here.
They came out of this engagement you've just detailed for us?
No, that came several nights later when I went out on another bombing mission. I got about three or 400 feet on the takeoff, and my engine quit cold, and I tried my best to get it back in running shape, but it didn't come back, and I was forced to make a crash landing into a lot of palm trees.
Fine thing. After the battles over Midway and all the excitement around Guadalcanal there, you find yourself meeting your nemesis right on your home base, huh?
Yes, it's something like a tightrope walker slipping on a banana peel.
Well, you know, Lieutenant Moore, I think you packed about as much excitement into a few short months as a man could possibly want in a lifetime, huh?
Yes, but that's not the real excitement.
Not the real excitement?
That's right. When I the real excitement came when I arrived back in the States and learned that my wife had given birth to a future Marine.
Ah, that is the real excitement. Well, Mrs. Moore is right here in the studio with his friends. Mrs. Moore, come on up to the microphone here just a minute. What do you think about all this, huh?
Well, I find it very difficult to be the wife of a hero and the mother of a 9-pound boy at the same time.
Oh, we're delighted to have you both here tonight. You know, Lieutenant Moore, Bromo-Seltzer has a gift for you. Something we happen to learn you've always wanted. Here's an 8-millimeter movie camera for you, and it's loaded with Kodachrome film. You can run right home and shoot some color pictures of that future Marine, huh?
That's exactly what I intend to do. Thank you very, very much.
And for that new baby, a sterling silver baby's cup with his initials, T.F.M. the Third. There it is, right there, Mrs. Moore.
Thank you very much.
Now, wait a minute, Mrs. Moore. No, that don't you go away. Here's a handbag for you. And gloves. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, shoes to match. Now, wait a minute. Oh, don't go away, Mrs. Moore. Here we are. Here's a hat for you. Yes, ma'am. And a new dress. There we are. Now, we're delighted to have had you. Vox Pop is very happy to have had you. And thanks a lot, Lieutenant Moore, for the interview. Go ahead, New River.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant and Mrs. Moore, for an exciting interview. Which means their great reputation. Well, Parks, who's our next?
Why, and here's a Marine Sergeant, the kind you read about. 7 years in the service, and tough when and where it does the most good. He's acting platoon sergeant in a tank company. Folks, Sergeant John Souter. Where are you from, Sergeant?
From my home, Florida, Massachusetts.
Just like a Marine, you cover a lot of territory, don't you, huh?
Yes, sir.
You married?
Yes, sir.
Any children?
No, sir.
What's your job here?
I'm platoon sergeant, training the new platoon tank operators ready for combat.
Train them for what?
Combat duty.
You mean right the real stuff, huh?
Yes, sir.
Say, just today, I happen to think of it. In your training, have you trained on how to handle these mosquitoes around here that Bourgeois mentioned a while ago?
Well, we're practicing.
You're practicing.
They're going to give us
heavy
tanks,
huh?
Next week.
Yeah, are you getting the same... Yeah. These are not your mosquitoes. Are you getting the same training that your buddies got to went over into the Solomon Islands?
Yes, sir, same thing.
Same thing. By the way, do you know any of the men over there?
Yes, sir.
How come you know them? Were they here with you or something like that?
Well, they're in my old outfit.
You mean your old outfit is over there now?
Yes, sir.
How'd they happen to slip away from you, Sergeant?
Well, I was sent off on special duty to New Orleans, Louisiana.
What were you doing there?
I was attached to Higgins Industries, the experimental department down there. We were assisting in the design and construction of landing boats.
Oh, those landing boats. Yeah, well, no wonder.
School.
No wonder. That's an important thing. Well, have you heard from or about any of your buddies over there?
Indirectly, yes.
How?
I went to movies up here about a week ago and saw moving pictures of one of the men.
Is that right? What was he doing?
He was firing a captured Japanese field piece.
A captured Japanese gun? Well, are you men taught to handle captured guns like that?
Well, trained so that we can use them, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Whatever you pick up. Well, now, look, Sergeant, when you're in your tanks out there, say that you're out in a battle. You're making so much noise, you couldn't hear a bugle when he blows retreat, could you?
Blows what, sir?
Blows retreat.
Sorry.
R-E-T-R-E-A-T.
Don't exist.
Never heard that word? Folks, and that's true. The Marines don't know what that word is. You'll not even find it in the music in the book where the bugler has to 30. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, I wish we had a little bit longer to talk to you, but we haven't. Want to thank you a lot. And now, look, we talked to Ms. Souter this afternoon, and we got a little lowdown here. I hope that we've almost also picked out some gifts for you that you can use. And, in fact, I'm quite sure of it from what she says. First is a great big brown four-suiter Samsonite suitcase. Can you use that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, boy. Now, wait a minute. And for the lady herself, it's a beautiful alligator skin ladies' traveling bag, and it's somewhat smaller, of course, and it's completely fitted, and I'd sure love to have those things in there myself. How about it? Thank you a lot, Sergeant.
You know, folks, way back in 1814, when George Stephenson built the first successful passenger locomotive, I'll bet he wouldn't have believed that someday a train would talk. But it's a fact, and here's our educated Vox Pop train to talk to you right now.
Fight a headache, three ways. Roman Delta, Roman Delta, Roman Delta, Roman Delta, Roman Delta.
Yes, friends, fight common sick headaches three ways with Roman Delta. That's how to get effective relief. Quickly feel more like your old self again. Many headache preparations, you know, may only relieve the pain in your head, but not Bromo-Seltzer. It acts these three ways.
Quick relief from headache pain.
Quick help for jumpy nerves.
Fast help for upset stomach.
So don't be satisfied with something that does less for you. When you have a common sick headache, get three-way relief with tried and true Bromo-Seltzer. Use it only as directed on the label. For frequent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. For common sick headaches, remember what our Vox Pop train says.
Fight the headache, the freeway.
Folks, we're back here at Marine Barracks at New River, North Carolina. Standing beside me is a fine, clean-cut young Marine, 22 years of age, and a veteran. In the first battle of Midway, he was wounded but stuck to his post. For this gallant action, he received the Navy Cross. He was invalided back to the United States and now has returned to duty. Folks, Sergeant Harold Hazelwood of Dock City, Missouri. Sergeant, can you tell us what happened that night on Midway, December 7th?
Well, as soon as the Japs struck, we were having heavy shelling from both sides at that time. In fact, it was getting pretty hot around there. I was in this command post, and we received about five direct hits on it. Pretty soon, I...
Sort of shook you up, didn't it?
Well, it certainly did a little bit. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon, a shell came right through the window and exploded behind us. Everyone in the command post was knocked down. The switchboard was torn up. Some of the men were killed there.
What were you doing there?
I was operating a switchboard in communications. The shrapnel and concussion together blew me away from the switchboard somehow.
Did it knock you out?
No, sir. I got about 3 pieces of shrapnel in my leg, and it was broken, but I never did lose conscience.
Well, you're a tough Marine, boy. What happened next? Did you manage to get back to the switchboard?
I did. I don't remember to this day how I got back there, whether I crawled or walked or how I got there, but I finally made it, and I reestablished communications, and after I saw I was getting too weak to go very much farther, I cross-piced the switchboard so that the other guns and the other command posts could take care of our messages.
Mm-hmm. Well, were you losing much blood then?
I was quite a bit. I took my penknife and cut a piece of telephone wire in two and wrapped around my leg as a tourniquet to stop the flow of blood.
Well, you managed to come out of it all right. Were you scared during the battle?
Well, as long as I had something to do, I wasn't so scared. But as soon as firing ceased, I just figured now the Japanese have taken over already. And I was looking for about a dozen come through those windows at any minute. I was really scared then.
Well, we can see now how you got the Navy Cross. And, Sergeant, there's nothing we can do or say to add to that Navy Cross, but for being with us tonight, Romo Seltzer wants you to have this Admiral portable radio. And for Mrs. Hazelwood, who's teaching school out in Missouri and whom we hope is listening tonight, we have the Sandy Gold Ladies Wristwatch with a gold chain wristband. And thank you very much, and good luck to you, Sergeant Hazelwood.
Thank you. Okay, Bart. Well, I've got to get the microphone up a little bit here on this, because, folks, all during the program, there has been sitting on the platform here a young man already in the Marine Reserve and soon to be in a Marine uniform. He flew in Friday and has been living in barracks here with us and the Marines for the past 4 days. This young Marine-to-be is about 6'3". He weighs 188 pounds, and he's a junior down in his college. Let's meet him and find out now how he feels about the Marines after his 4-day preview at this tremendous New River base. The boys out there understand that you've really seen a lot. Your name is Bill, isn't it?
That's right.
How old are you, Bill?
I'm 19.
You're built somewhat like an athlete. What sport are you going
I've
for?
I've been swimming at college for the last 3 years now.
Well, you mean you're on the varsity team down
That's
here?
That's right.
Well, Bill, will you give us some of your impressions of the Marines you've seen down here at New River and what you've seen going on?
Well, it's quite a few impressions.
Makes you sort of want to get in the uniform, seeing these boys getting a jump on you. They all love the Marines and love to fight. And it looks like a good, tough bunch.
Yeah, you bet your life. You've been speaking gospel up to now. Bill, have you talked to any of them?
I've been talking with a lot of them the last few days.
I bet you have it, Dad. Well, what you been talking about?
Well, I've been just trying to find out what I'm in for pretty soon. Find out lots of things.
I bet you two of the one that you've been talking to them about boot training.
That's just about it.
Yeah, I bet you have it, Dad. But any special hints that any of the Marines here have given
you? Oh, everybody gives me hints. You got to learn how to keep your hands out of your pockets and keep your mouth shut most of the time and
all the time.
And just respect your officers and just take it.
That's right. Now, Bill, why did you join the Marines?
Well, everybody's going to be in this war, it looks like, and I wanted to get in the toughest branch that's got to fight some.
I believe you did it, boy. I believe you did it. Are you still glad you joined them, Bill?
I'm mighty glad I joined.
And, Bill, what do your mother and father think about your being in the Marines?
Well, they think it's all right.
Well, you're John Tootin, Bill. They think it's all right because, you see, folks, Bill's last name is Johnson, and he happens to be my own son. And Louise and I are very, very proud of him. Very proud that he wanted to and did join the Marines. And, Bill, when you left University of Texas down there, how was Sister Betty? What did you think about the Marines?
Well, Betty helped me decide on them. She's all for
them. Well, that's the boy. Well, son, I know that you're ready to go anytime, and I know that you folks out there will understand when I say that I know you're going to make a good Marine. Okay, Bill. Thank you.
Wait a minute, Bill, old boy. Look, I know your pappy couldn't give you a couple of gifts here from Bromo Seltzer. I'm going to break in here. And want to give you first a game set here. And I know what a gin rummy set you've taken me this weekend. Here.
Yes,
yeah, so thanks, Bill. Wait a minute. That's not all. We have this beautiful portable radio for you, too, to take back to Texas.
That's
okay.
Well.
Bill, we're all proud of you, boy.
Anniversary of the United States Marine Corps.
Right, Parks, and we wish them 167 more years in the same glorious tradition.
And next Monday, we'll broadcast from the Waves headquarters at Northampton, Massachusetts, when we'll hear about the women in the Navy. Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
This broadcast does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our product by the Marines, as they do not endorse any product.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next week, when Parks and Warren visit the Waves in Northampton, Massachusetts. And in the meantime, whenever you get a common sick headache, nerves on edge, stomach upset, do as our Vox Pop train says and fight headache three ways with Bromo Seltzer. You get it?
Fight headache three ways! Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Be sure to listen to Bromo Seltzer's other great show friends, The Adventures of Ellery Queen. See your local paper for the time and station. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.